The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I know in the bulletin it doesn't say anything about me giving a sermon, but I'm going to anyway. I mean, I spent a little time on it, so I figured why not. Oversight, the new guy, sorry. Interesting, Palm Sunday, always a very interesting day, I think, for me. It's this very abrupt journey. We begin outside with the palms, and especially a day like today, it's a beautiful day. Thanks be to God. And so we're out there in the sun, we're gathering, we're chatting, we're having a great time. We do the liturgy of the palms, and this morning we got to hear the children sing. I mean, how wonderful is that? And then we awkwardly find our way back into the building. Nobody really knows what we should be doing next. And we finally find our way in, and we hear a couple other readings, and then all of a sudden, the crucifixion comes. So we have this triumphal entry and then the death of Christ. So we move very quickly, don't we? It's just this little snippet. And it always throws me a little bit, and I think it's supposed to. It should have us off balance a little bit. We need to remember both sides. So often we, as Christians today, are very quick, as we should be, by the way, to rejoice in the fullness of what Christ is for us, that our very salvation. But sometimes I think it's helpful to remember the cross. So this day we get both. Christ the King triumphant, entering into Jerusalem, although mockingly, and then the cross. So as we go forward this Holy Week, we will continue that journey. We'll gather together throughout the week to walk this way with Christ, walk His way to the cross. And my hope is we'll experience the fullness of what we can liturgically in that. But first today, we hear this motion, or we feel this motion, I believe, with Christ, and it leaves us off balance. What do we do? I mean, to reflect on a God that went to a cross on our behalf, what should I do with that information? How do I respond? Can I even respond? And thankfully, Paul steps in Philippians with his letter to that church. Although I want to back us up just a little bit in chapter 2, which is where our reading came from. It says, if then, this is verse 1, if then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion, any sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And then we get to our actual reading. I share that with you because I think it's really important to understand moving forward from here, who is Paul talking to? He's talking to the church whole, amen? Each and every one of those people need to be hearing what he says next. Each and every one of us, the church today, can still hear the same thing. It is about us moving together as one body. And Paul says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That sounds great until we hear what's next. And what's next is actually what has been determined by the scholars to be a Christ hymn. It's believed to be the words of a hymn of the early church that spoke of their understanding of Jesus Christ. And it says this, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ. And then he reminds them from their own tradition, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ, is how Paul began this. And he continues, therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In our tradition, we do many things. Just as Paul is reminding this church in Philippi through their own tradition, through their own hymn, the fullness of who Christ is. Don't forget this. Don't think it's about you, is what he's saying. It is about this. And by the way, you already know it. And he knows they know it because this is the hymn that they sing. I say to you, there are many things that we do within our tradition that point to our understanding of the humility of Christ. And you may see others do it, you may do it yourself. But from time to time, I like to share some of the motions that you might see, maybe out of your new priest. I don't know if you saw them out of your other priests or not. So there's a point in the Nicene Creed where we speak of Christ becoming incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He came down from heaven. He humbled himself, is what we're being reminded in our tradition. He humbled himself and came and walked with us when he didn't have to, but he chose to. He chose to enter his creation in human form while remaining fully divine. He came to get us, to put it bluntly, to walk next to us and grab a hold of us and say, there is a way for you to be reconciled to me. Let me show you as the incarnate God, Jesus Christ. So when we are reading that portion of the creed, you will see many of us might bow profoundly when we hear of this incarnate God who came for us. So humble, how could we remain standing? How can we continue to stand in the face of that God? In other traditions, they would do similar, and in the very Anglo-Catholic tradition within the Episcopal Church, they may genuflect at that point. A reminder, brothers and sisters, of Jesus, God incarnate, humble, walking in his creation in the way he chose to walk, not to his benefit, but to ours. We get that opportunity to remember within our own liturgical movement. And then you will often see at the name of Jesus, as it says, as Paul says and reminds the church from their very own hymn, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So we're a little more polite. So what you'll often see is at the name of Jesus, somebody's head might drop at the name of Jesus. Maybe years ago you saw the movie I saw when I was just a little boy, relatively younger, a movie called Airplane, I think it was. You've seen it? It's probably not great, but it's pretty funny. And I'm pretty sure that was the movie. I'll have to double check myself, or you can, and get back to me. There's a scene, they're passing through the airport, and this person just keeps saying, Jesus, along with other words. Jesus, Jesus. And there's this poor nun running along. Every time he says Jesus, this nun is crossing herself and bowing her head. And I thought that was so funny when I saw it as a young man, as a child, really. And I hear that now and I think, yeah, every knee should bow. So even if the head just drops, it's always a good reminder. So I say these things to you because we do a lot of weird stuff here. I mean, we dress up funny, we walk around in parades, and we wave palms on days like today. We do a lot of interesting things. We have a lot of liturgical moves, and some of them, you know, the sacramental things, some of them are traditional, some of them are ritual. And people say that like it's a bad thing. Oh, it's just ritual for you all. It's not for me. It's not for me. It's not just ritual. I don't bow my head because you bow your head. I bow my head because I hear the name of Jesus. I don't make a profound bow during the creed because you make a profound bow at the creed. I make a profound vow because at that moment I'm reminded that my Savior, God Himself, entered into creation to get a hold of me. How could I stand before such a God? Paul reminds the church in Philippi of what they need to remember by pointing at their own tradition. I say to you today, we have a rich tradition too. And we are reminded often in the way in which we move. And I know many people in the world think we're just crazy, but we're really not. It comes from a deep love of God because He has a deep love for us. How do we respond to such a humble God? We humble ourselves. We come before Him, often on our knees if we still can. And we humble ourselves. Not a new thing for us. This is one of my favorite books. Perhaps you've heard of it. It's called The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. He wrote it over 500 years ago, so it may not be immediately on your shelf. But if it isn't, you should get it. And I'm going to quote something here from Thomas A. Kempis in relationship to obedience and humility. The beautiful thing about this book is it's in chapters, and most of the chapters aren't really even a whole page, so you really feel like you're moving through it. Although I've honestly been reading this one for probably 15 years, and probably will read it till the day I die, over and over, and maybe on the day, if all goes well. But he says this, and I want to make sure you know that he said it so I don't get blamed for it. He goes, "So learn to obey, dust. Learn to be humble yourself, earth and clay. And to think of others before you think of yourself. Learn to live in obedience, whether you like it or not. Stamp out your self-centered ways and rid yourself of your swollen pride. Do not feel superior to anyone, but place yourself at the service of all." We have this incredible opportunity this day and throughout Holy Week and all the other days of our lives to remember very simply that Christ, God incarnate, walked in this creation so that He would know us better, so that He could gather us to Himself, so that through the cross we would be reconciled to God by His action, not ours. We have the opportunity to follow, and He calls us to, doesn't He? This week we will walk the way of the cross, liturgically, ritually, and hopefully, most importantly, spiritually, we will walk with Jesus to the cross. And in those times, we might actually remember and recognize that we put Him there through our sin. He paid the price we couldn't on our behalf. And when we gather together for the Easter service and proclaim Him a risen Lord, we will rise up with Him also. But to die with Him. Brings us to a much deeper understanding of what it means to be risen with Him. Brothers and sisters, this is an incredible opportunity to be reminded through our own tradition the depth of that which God has done for us. So take part. Embrace your rituals. Embrace the sacrament. pick up your cross and follow. Amen.